cats
don't care,
are
safe
they,
enough.
They are the backers of this fine radio program, which we haven't mentioned in a long time, because at one point we stopped being affiliated with them so we could be more political.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now stopped being so political, but I kept forgetting to fold the announcements about a description of the APA
back into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what you get from, you know, these amateur radio productions.
Who, us?
Yeah, that's us. That's us, because we don't get paid.
That's true.
You don't get paid?
You get paid?
The ACA has weekly meetings Sunday mornings at Romeo's at 1500 Barton Springs Road. Except for the third Sunday of each month when we have our lecture series at 12:30 p.m. in the reception room of the Austin History Center, located in downtown Austin at 9th and Guadalupe. The next lecture will be on December 18, though actually I hear a rumor it won't be a lecture, but a vote by members on some constitutional
things. No, I think actually the lecture
is
called off and we're going to Romeo's.
In December?
Oh,
I know this
December.
Month's was.
Sorry. Yeah.
I think next month it's actually a vote and not a...
How many times can you just sit down and have somebody shake their finger at you going, now listen here, young man.
What are you talking about?
Lectures,
They're usually pretty good.
Okay, cool.
The Godless Gamers meet every Monday at 7 p.m. At the Glasser residence. The ACA Happy Hour is at Antonio's near Highway 35 and 183 every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, you can call the ACA's voicemail at area code 512-371-2911 or visit the website at www.atheist-community.org. Okay. That's that announcement.
Cool.
Let's see. Heart of the Beholder, that film that we were talking about. I don't know if I mentioned this last time I had the information. Heart of the Beholder has now won five
Whoa.
Best Feature Film Awards back-to-back from regional film festivals, with the last
Ooh.
Two awards coming from New Hampshire and Tulsa. This
wow.
is like 2 weeks old information. They might be cool. up to six or seven by now. I don't know. I don't know how that works. According to their site, no other film that they know of has won that many top awards on the independent film circuit. For more information about that film, you can go to www.beholder.com. Want to remind everybody that the winter solstice, which is like an actual astronomically significant moment in time that is worth noticing by atheists, will occur...
It's an inflection point, I believe, is the technical term.
Inflection point? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, the length of the days is...
It's the winter solstice! Is that what you mean?
No, it's a mathematical term for... If you were to graph the length of the days over time, then there would be a dip.
Did I inflect
point.
That right, or is it a winter solstice?
Oh, forget
it!
Well, anyway, that's happening this year.
With you.
No, please.
Try to inject a little education into this show.
Actually, that's fine. Please go ahead. I will no more comedic interruptions.
No, I'm done.
You're done. Okay.
That was it.
I missed it entirely because I was working on my jokes. But I presumably the audience got it. Anyway, my point in bringing this up is that's happening this year on December
21. Cool.
I want to welcome everybody to our live chat room that's in there. I understand we have a pretty darn big turnout as
Can you check our
Wait,
dead
I'm confused.
Chat room?
You haven't
oh,
announced that there is a chat room, really.
Okay, so there's a chat room. Thank you, Russell, for reminding me. Well,
and
so
if you were to go to nonprofitsradio.com, which is PROPHET, then you would see a link readily available on the front page that explains to you in great detail how you may connect to the chat room. And if you're lucky, you could just click on something else, and it'll take you straight there.
And if you're listening live right now, then you got to do that right away, because I was wrong. We have a small turnout in the chat room, but we have a number...
We have a free dart radio.
We have a good number of live listeners, so there's no excuse. We ought to have exactly that many people in the chat room.
But the more people in the chat room, the more chances that somebody will point out our mistakes.
That's right.
That's right.
Not that we...
And then we may persecute
them. Do we make mistakes?
Prizes. Yeah, we make mistakes. Like I made one right there where I said that we had a lot of people in the chat room already. It ain't so.
They can call us on our arbitrary claims.
Got to mention Proposition 2 here in Texas passed. That was the constitutional amendment barring the state from recognizing
marriage.
Cool.
Strangely, the way it's worded, technically, even real traditional man and woman marriage cannot be recognized by the state.
Yeah.
But apparently that wasn't good enough. Wasn't a good enough reason not to pass it. So not only that, like, what is it, over 75% of the voters that voted in favor of that fucking thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of an overreaction to, you know, not recognize any marriage just because you don't want gay marriage, but...
Yeah, of course, it is a matter of interpretation, so, you know, it's never going to be used that way. It's just really shoddily written, even for a piece of legislation that shouldn't exist in the first place.
True.
But hey, technically, those of us who were married are now single again, so my number is...
But someone needs to challenge it. Someone needs to say your marriage is not recognized. Boom.
Now, how serious is a constitutional amendment in a state?
I don't know.
I mean, like, if it was a constitutional amendment to the, you know, U.S. Constitution, that would pretty much be it, barring a prohibition overturning sort of event.
Well, as long as
I mean, you know, if you go to court and argue against the Constitution, it's constitutional by definition.
Yeah, Matt.
As long as the actual issue is still under the control of the state, then the constitutional law, the constitutional amendment for the state constitution, is just as binding as it would have been if it was at the national level. As long as Texas makes its own rules about who's married and who's not and how, that constitutional amendment is law. Now, if this becomes a national issue, then it'll supersede all the state's control. And that's really a big point of political debate as to, you know, how much control should states have and over what areas.
Yeah. Also, it's, you know, it's important right now because it is relevant in Texas right now. And since there are other states where gay couples can marry, what happens is when they come to Texas... Their marriages are not recognized.
Right.
So, you know, does at least that much damage. I mean, it's not like...
Yes, I'm just wondering...
If it was merely, you're not allowed to perform the ceremonies in Texas, then gay couples would go, that's freaking stupid, but we'll go across the border into, you know, whatever state that does allow us to do that. But it's way worse than that.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that the law, that it's not bad that it happened. I'm just wondering, as far as challenging it in court goes, can ya?
The whole point of doing that is because apparently constitutional amendments are harder to challenge.
Right.
Than regular legislation. So
I would like to say, though, that even though it passed, like, overwhelmingly in Texas, I think it was something like 75%, Austin was, I think... maybe the only city that did not vote for it.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Your vote was in vain, but not quite as in vain as you think.
And I've also seen statistics from Houston, and this is according to fundamentalist nitwits who were crowing about their victory but bitching that it wasn't 100%. They said that in Houston, polls indicated that slightly over 50% of citizens were against the measure, right? They were against making that constitutional amendment.
Right.
But so few of them turned out, they didn't vote.
Right.
On Veterans Day, November 11th, American Atheists sponsored an Atheists in Foxholes rally in Washington, D.C. Photos of this event are posted at http. You don't need to hear that. www.atheistfoxholes.org. www.atheistfoxholes.org.
You know what's weird about that story? The first place I heard it was townhall.com, which is a right-wing nut editorial site. The place that you
were they bitching about it or what?
No, it was actually a fair and reasonable story. I figured somebody made a mistake.
I've looked at the pictures and I didn't see hide nor hair of protesters. But on the other hand, it was a much smaller turnout than their Godless Americans march in Washington.
Did they dig big holes in the lawn out front of the?
I don't think it was necessary for them to actually put themselves in foxholes there in front of the White House.
That would be odd.
That wasn't the White House.
So really, it was the atheists who have been in foxholes at least once.
Ah,
protest.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there were a bunch of like uniforms and stuff.
Cool.
Okay, on to the CFI events calendar, December 10th through the 17th, yes, you heard it before, now hear it again, the CFI Cruise, not related to Tom Cruise.
No.
Join Daniel Dennett, Susan Blackmore, Paul Kurtz, and Adam Hart Davis, cruise to Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta.
And points west.
With secular
humanists. Probably the coolest bunch of old people you can hope to hang out with.
on a cruise ship, yeah. With secular humanists and skeptics on board Holland America's Oosterdam. Join leading minds in critical inquiry for 7 days of entertaining and educational lectures, discussions, and shuffleboard.
Cool.
Or whatever else they do on them damn ships.
Oosterdam.
Prices start at just a mere pittance of $1,472.84 each for two to a cabin.
Really?
I don't even know if it's still possible to register for this thing.
Let me whip out my
wallet. It's less than a month away.
Yeah.
But you go there and try, and you can't, you'll find out. For more information and for reserving your spot on the CFI Cruise, please contact 1-800-398-7571 or cruise@cfiflorida.org. If you know of any events or groups or websites that you think deserve mention on our show, please let us know by emailing nonprofits@atheist-community.org. You know, we can be heard all around the planet. And I can't think of any reason why any atheist event would be below our radar.
Right.
Unless it gets to be too many.
You know, a lot of people...
CFI.org is not CFI.
CFIFlorida.org is what I said.
Well,
you know, a
until
lot of
announcements
people
take up the entire
hour... Yeah, if it needs to be too many, then we'll have to start throwing out things like, you know, local atheist Ted Crimmins stubbed his toe yesterday, and you can send flowers to. That kind of stuff. You know, at some point, we'll say no. But today, if that's the
anything
first...
goes.
Yeah, in the next 2 weeks, if that's like the only announcement we get, we're doing it. Because why not?
You know, a lot of people are now discovering us through our podcast.
They are indeed.
We
want to welcome all the pod people now listening to our show.
Yeah, it's cool because when you go to iTunes and search for podcasts and just type the word atheist, we're one of the first things that shows up.
Yeah.
So, and we're also one of the best.
According to what? Is there a voting system?
You know, according to me.
Oh, okay. You've got good taste, so... Listen to Russell, he says.
And once you listen to us, and you become a pod person, then you can point at people and scream with a weird, unearthly voice.
Although I have been listening to Reggie more, and he's got some, you know, I had forgotten some of the quality stuff that he's putting out.
Yep. Reggie does a great show. Listeners, that's good.
He gives great show.
Okay, on to our mailbag for the last 2 weeks. Trevor wrote us saying, here are a few atheism-related songs that I recorded on www.lackeyccg.com. That's lackeyccg.com/music. And he gave individual links for several different songs, but if you go to that site, you'll just see them there.
Big list, right.
Okay. He said, you can air one of these on your show if you like. And, Trevor, thank you. I will pass this on to our engineering staff and see if we even have the capability of running MPEGs.
Actually, my iPod can be plugged into the mixer.
Your iPod?
So I can download it at home.
All right, man. So track those down.
It's just something in MP3 format?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's no problem.
MP3s. That's you said MPEGs. MP3s.
Yeah, one amp is actually running out to the side.
We'll work on that, Trevor. Thank you very much. And by the way, neat little songs. Shane from Cleveland writes, I recently became aware of your show and have been listening to some past shows on your archive via podcast technology. There's a pod person right there. I wanted to point out some of your comments in the July episode regarding your mention of slaves being counted as 3/5 of a person, I assume he means.
Yeah.
Yes.
July episode? You can hear our July episodes on podcast?
Wow.
You go back that far? There's a big old archive. Yeah. Once you connect to us, it just gives you a list of shows that are available, and you just click on them, and they show up in your iPod.
I believe, as an atheist, that this was wrong, as you do as well, and you pointed that out on your show. Where I disagree is when Jeff thought they should be counted as a full person. If you were in that time period and were against slavery, as any rational person should be, you would not want them counted at all. The fact they were partially counted was by concession from the North in order to keep the South happy. By counting them as 3/5 allowed the slave owners to jack up the population in the South, giving them power in the Electoral College. This is obviously seen in the fact that the first 36 years of our country were run by presidents who were slave owners. If we were to take that power away from them, we may have been able to end slavery earlier than we did, just my point of view.
That is an excellent point, I think.
It is an excellent point. You know,
my tiny little brain cannot remember
all the way back to January, so I don't know specifically what I said. But I'm even given that this was a strategy to keep the slave-owning South from having as much political power as they wanted, I'm very torn when it comes to matters of principle.
Mm-hmm.
I am very torn about whether it is a good idea to compromise on matters of principle for strategic purposes. So, like, you know, Michael Newdow, for example, likes to argue that atheists should just embrace the claim that atheism is a religion, because the way that the Bill of Rights is written, I believe it's the Bill of Rights, but the way the relevant laws are written, religious belief is protected.
Right. It provides practical...
Yeah, so that's a strategic choice to go ahead and just say, what the fuck, we're a religion.
Right, so
in order to get the protection of a religion.
You're basically giving up a sound philosophical argument in favor of weaseling your way into some legalese, basically.
Hmm. You know, certainly people who are black, their opinion probably counts for more than mine on this one. I still think that this is worth discussion and that there is fair grounds here for disagreement.
Well, I think what Sean was saying was not that they was not really that they shouldn't have been counted as 3/5 of a person.
I believe you mean Shane.
Shane, sorry.
Did I say Sean? Shane.
I said Sean. Sorry. Okay. I think what Shane was saying is that the real issue is that slaves couldn't vote. And that being the case, counting them as 3/5 of a person was just so to jack up the population. And it didn't matter to the slaves at all whether they counted as 3/5 or one person.
But his further point is that if we had not counted them as citizens at all...
Mm-hmm.
Then the North would have had more political power relative to the South, and slavery might have been done away with sooner. That is his second point.
But if we had,
and if there's black, if there are black people who want to say, yeah, you know, I can see for the sake of my ancestors and my, you know, my history and so on, that that it might have been better to not count them at all,
right?
In order to try to end the whole debacle sooner. If a black person wants to come to me and tell me that was their strategy and or that's a strategy they think would have been fair, I would take their viewpoint very, very seriously.
Hmm.
Just like I take the a viewpoint of fellow atheists very, very seriously when they say, fuck that, we're not a religion, and the problem that our country is facing is religion, and no, we're not going to pretend that we are just to, you know, just to try to get some short-term political advantage.
Right.
So, I don't think it's as simple as, you know, look at the math. That was done to try to, you know, that was an attempt at abuse by the South that could have been worse. Yeah, that's all true. I don't think that necessarily tells you the way that it should have gone.
Well, look at it this way: being count as any part of a citizen didn't do the slaves any good. I mean, it wasn't for their benefit in any way. They weren't considered. I mean, they couldn't vote. They couldn't get their own representation. So, from any kind of, even from a philosophical point of view, you'd have to say that it makes no difference to them.
Well, but, you know, take that back to the analogy of atheism and religion, right?
Yeah.
What advantage do atheists get by by continuing to say we are not a religion? Well, what we get out of that is we continue to be treated second class citizens, mm-hmm. just because we don't have one of those religion things, and that in itself is a statement about our position. I mean, refusing to wear the swastika armbands.
Right.
Is a statement, even if making that statement doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, I do think it is a more subtle issue than that.
Okay. Well, I would like to know what some black people think.
I would like to know that, too. Shane goes on, I also want to point out that I do like your show and find most of your opinions refreshing. I, however, am mostly conservative in my views when it comes to politics. I realize that this may seem odd coming from an atheist, but I also find myself pissed off that the Conservative Party has been hijacked by religious wacko pinheads.
Good.
I don't think that there are too many people that are atheist conservative, but maybe you can give us some consideration in your show and include our type in your community. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Well, Shane, as a matter of fact, the atheist community of Austin does make room for conservative atheists. We have several, but they are a very tiny minority. I don't know what it is exactly that you expect a room full of liberal atheists to do to make room for conservative atheists on our show, though. I mean, I am not going to sit here and express opinions that I disagree with politically.
Right.
Here's the thing. We made a decision early on in the show, when we'd been going like a year or two, the war started up, and mm-hmm. there was some serious discussion internally off the air about whether we would talk about the fact that we were against the war. And remember that at this time, like 90% of people were for attacking Iraq.
And let's you know, put a disclaimer here. I don't know what Shane's views are on any particular
right,
subject.
Right.
He may be against the war as well, as far as I know, he didn't
yeah.
say. Right? So all we can talk about is things that might be applicable or relevant.
Yeah, well, I would assume that Shane is something of a fiscal conservative, at least.
But
we don't know that either. But the war is something that tends to divide up on liberal and conservative lines and tends to be political, and we talked about, well, should we make a concession to the fact that not all listeners are going to be of one mind about this? And we basically decided, no, it's us talking about our opinions, and we can make a case that it's not a good idea to go to war with Iraq based on the same principles that ultimately lead us to be atheists. The idea is about not believing in stuff until you have sufficient evidence for it.
Yeah. And by the way, Shane, you are not the first conservative atheist to ever contact our show, asking for your point of view to be included, and you're also not the first one we've turned down. We're liberals. We're gonna continue to do our show from our perspective, and we don't pretend that we speak for all atheists everywhere. Anybody ever who pretended that would be clearly a big, fat, stinky liar, because atheists are, if anything, not followers, except for maybe you conservative ones.
Hey.
Slap.
Yeah, all right. I will say this.
That was a joke, wasn't it?
Pretty much. Yeah. Again, it's hard to do really biting humorous sarcasm against somebody whose specific views on specific issues I don't even know. So, that was just sort of a broad swipe at the, at the subclass of conservative atheists rather than a pointed remark. But I will say this in favor of conservatism, okay? To the extent that a conservative viewpoint means caution and care and judgment and skepticism about new ideas until there is evidence in support of the usefulness of those new ideas, I'm all for it. But I also have to say, judging from the behavior of and words of practically every conservative person I've seen or heard in the media,
In other words, the religious wackos who have hijacked.
I mean, even the non-religious ones, okay? Just judging by self-declared conservatives of all kinds that I've ever heard of, to the extent that they embrace just caution and skepticism and hard-nosed, critical thinking about new ideas. They also seem to embrace a hostility to new ideas embodied primarily in the kinds of attacks that they make on Democrats, who they characterize, generally, as crazy people who just want to do all these insane things to destroy all the grand traditions just because they're grand traditions, right? As nothing more than iconoclasts. And that part of conservatism, I think, is hugely harmful.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is there is a... you can be... It seems to me, and this is why I am a liberal, even though I recognize that conservatism can include a strain of just hard-nosed skepticism,
right?
Which I think is a great thing. I'm a liberal because I'm not skeptical about the validity of new ideas, right? Not because I just have these emotional feelings that, oh, we must try this crazy new thing because it just sounds so good, you know?
Right.
I'm critical and skeptical of new ideas, too. I just think, from my experience, and again, I can't talk about you personally, Shane, because I don't know, but from my experience with conservatives, they talk a good game about skepticism, but really, they seem to me to be folks who just want to keep doing stuff the way it's been done since time immemorial, who simply want to accept that the people in power now are the people who deserve to be in power, that people who have the advantages now are the people who deserve to continue having the advantages, and that anything that threatens that entrenched power is inherently bad, despite whatever positive consequences could come from undermining it. And that's more said on this episode of The Nonprofits about liberalism than we have on almost any show ever. So I kind of advise those of you who are conservatives who want to hear your views voiced on our show, don't bother, because I'm going to use it as an opportunity to talk about my views as, too, and I have the actual microphone. I'm glad that you're an atheist. I wish that you were more liberal-minded in general. Okay.
And again, without knowing what he means by conservative.
And I can only... You're right, so I can only say that in a very general sense, and I might be wrong, because it could be Shane merely uses the word conservative and actually doesn't hold any views that they have. I have no idea. I've met people like that, too. V. Green wrote... Is the Austin event rescheduled to the end of December still happening? I'd appreciate any information you can give me.
I think he's probably talking about George Carlin.
Is that what he's talking? I have no idea. My response is, V, I have no idea what you're talking about. The only event recently rescheduled was this month's lecture, which... has been rescheduled for December, and I mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, November's speaker has canceled, so there would be somebody new speaking, if it's even a speaker and not a vote.
Yeah, well,
what's the George Carlin thing?
Last month, we were all going to go in a group, well, some of us were going to go in a group, have dinner and see George Carlin, but George Carlin canceled because of Hurricane Katrina.
Right. Okay.
Or Rita.
Right.
And it was rescheduled for December, I think.
What's the date? Do you know?
Matt?
Matt, can you find out for us what the new date for the George Carlin concert in Austin is? Okay, V, we now have more of a clue what that might be all about, and I hope it is that, because that's something we can actually answer. Okay, so let's go on to some actual... News.
All right.
Russell, why don't you just start, because I see you have papers.
Okay. I don't have a lot of papers.
Okay.
But I'm going to promo an event that's going to be happening next week.
Okay.
Reginald Finley, the infidel guy
who
ran the Atheist Network, where we used to be, is going to be on Wife Swap.
That is happening.
Yes.
Okay.
We've known about this for months, but it seems that the show kept getting put off over and over again. And now, finally, they're actually on the schedule. They're going to be not this coming Monday, but the Monday after that, the Monday after Thanksgiving. Many of us will be at my house for game night, and I'd like to say that if you don't normally come to game night, I expect that we'll want to watch that show.
What is the actual date? Do you have the actual date?
November 28th. From 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC. That's Channel 3 in Austin. Now, here's the press release, which you'll note is the same press release that we were outraged about when we saw it months ago. This week in Stone Rock Finley, a God-fearing pastor's wife swaps places with the godless wife of an atheist on ABC's Wife Swap, the critically acclaimed unscripted reality show that takes us into the intimate heart of the American family, blah, blah, blah. Kelly Stone Rock, 37, and her husband, Pastor Jeff Stone Rock, live in a cozy suburban Michigan home with their four children, Devin, 10, Justin, 9, Hunter, 3, and Jackson, 2, and their niece, Taylor, 9, and nephew, Jacob, 6. The Stone Rocks are pillars of their community. Jeff is the pastor of the town's Pentecostal church, and Kelly maintains her perfect image as the church's first lady. Her regimented and fast-paced daily schedule includes homeschooling the six children, working out at the gym, playing team sports, and hosting regular Bible discussion groups with other women from the church. Kelly keeps the children on an active social schedule involving church activities and volunteer work. She sees to it that the family... Okay, you know, more
blah, blah,
more
blah.
Of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Kelly travels to the urban Georgia lived-in home of Amber Finley, 30, and her husband, Reginald, 31. The Finleys are atheists, raising three children, Dorian, 11, Reginald Jr., 3, and baby girl Ryan, 1. Dad Reggie spends 80 hours a week working from home, broadcasting his own internet radio show and running his own website devoted to atheism. He believes that God does not exist and convinced his wife to give up her Christian beliefs in favor of atheism when the couple first started dating. Amber is a stay-at-home mother responsible for cleaning the house to Reginald's standards, and spends the rest of her day on the computer surfing the internet or obsessively playing computer games. Though Amber and Reginald are at home together all day, they rarely spend quality time with each other, as Reginald is obsessed with his work. There's that same word again. After school and daycare, the children spend their evenings in front of the television and computer or quietly in their rooms so as not to disturb Dad while he's broadcasting the show. Then it goes on to describe the swap, yeah, which involves the Christian woman crying. Yes.
Apex in the chat channel, and also I managed to find this searching as well. George Carlin will be here December 30th at 7 p.m. And it was interesting to note that there's a website with a list of George Carlin tickets and opportunities that's completely unrelated to anything in Austin, which actually listed the ACA event that was originally planned for his September visit.
Huh.
No kidding.
Yeah. But I find it shocking that he rescheduled. That's a tacit admission that the hurricane is meaner than he is.
Good point. Okay, well, so this press release sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredibly slanted.
Yeah, and we were still in chat correspondence with Reggie when this press release first came out a few months ago, and he was, I think, shocked by it, because according to him, they did really well.
Well,
they came out looking really well, and something he said at the time. What?
It is possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bending over backwards here now to be nice to the producers of the show, but it's possible that is intentionally skewed to set up an expectation,
right,
which is then demolished by the show, because that would make it controversial and potentially draw back new viewers in future.
Right.
Draw back the same viewers.
And of course, as you get Christians to watch, because they want to see the atheists be miserable.
That's true.
Maybe. But what did Reggie say? I mean, did
I
he
checked,
say,
well,
did
I'll
he
get
say
to
if
that
he had
in a second,
complained?
But first I'll say that the press release contains at least one flat-out lie, according to Amber, who shows up on the chat room. It says that when Amber gets to take over the Christian house, she starts fining the pastor $1 for every time he mentions God. And she says that is a complete lie. I didn't do anything like that. Reggie wrote on his website, "It was explained to me that the very negative press release of the Finley family was actually released by ABC before even they viewed the episode. Normally, Moselle Miley would view it herself and fashion a press release based on what she has seen. This was given to her by the people at RDF Media, so she published what they sent her, which is pretty darn scary, to be honest. Glenn also hinted that the press release may have been fashioned in such a way as to draw interest." That's your theory.
Yeah.
That more than likely, my family may not come off looking like what the release has portrayed us to be. Quote, it's marketing. And then he encouraged people to email the station in protest.
I have a question. I've seen a video recently of some sort of show.
We have that taped.
Swap them. And this hideous harridan is shrieking and gibbering at a family, and it's some sort of spiritual warrior nonsense.
It's her own family.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Recently,
is that the same thing?
Not wife swap, but the other one, trading spouses.
Oh, okay, trading spouses.
Recently on Trading Spouses, there was a crazy lady who exchanged places with some pagan Wiccan.
Well, let's not call her crazy. Let's call her religious.
No, she was crazy. Watch the video. She's like...
That's different from other religious people. How?
Apparently that show is available here. We may view it after the program.
Or we may actually...
Please don't even show it without sound now, Matt, because it would be distracting.
Oh, it's horrible.
I think Matt is
pleased to hear that we have it
for the audio. But this woman comes home and storms about it. That woman has been in my house and it's unclean. I'm a spiritual warrior, and she goes raging around.
It's horrendous.
And she like is
it's
about
soul damaging. If there were such thing.
And she says that she's going to throw the money back in their face that they were getting paid for the show, but a note at the end of the show says she changed her mind.
Yeah, each of the spouse who comes in to visit determines how the money's going to be spent.
Yeah.
And it turns out that while she threw her big fit and ripped up the check and I'm a God warrior and I give it up to God and I don't want your money, it's tainted and everything else. She reconsidered, and the other mommy had allocated the money to partially to help a younger daughter with dance lessons and everything else, but also had allocated $10,000 or $15,000 toward a gastric bypass surgery because that's what that woman had wanted because she was so morbidly obese. I mean, I don't mean to be cruel to her, but she was.
Yeah. The crazy lady was.
Yes. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it was for her surgery that the other woman donated the money.
And after throwing her fit and thinking about it later after the crew had left, she decided to go ahead and take the money and use it as it was out.
Yeah, but, I mean, she literally chased the camera people out of her house moment she got home.
Told them that if they believed in Jesus, they could stay. But any camera person who didn't believe in Jesus had to get the hell out of her house.
And they clearly weren't listening because they were sitting there filming her yelling all
day. I think they were in shock because I would have been.
Yeah, oh my God.
Somebody who didn't actually speak English, who was being told maybe that this was a show about religion, would have thought this woman was possessed. That's how, I'll show you later. It's all just insane.
Wow. Crazy.
So if you can get your hand on that tape,
cool.
But we have no advance notice that there's any crazy shit like that in the Retro Findlay one.
Yeah, we do not know how this show will turn out. However, both parties have a website if you care to hunt for them.
Really?
So
they're talking about the show?
No, well, I mean, Reginald Findlay has infidelguy.com.
Right.
And Stone Rock... The Stone Rock lady has some kind of horribly designed, must be viewed at 1280 by 1040, giant, flashy, colorful,
probably with
hideous
an annoying
website.
Tune, yes.
I didn't hear an annoying
okay,
tune,
cool.
To her credit.
That's good.
Wow. Okay. Well, fascinating. Any science? I actually brought a little science news.
Cool.
I have news from the Vatican.
What's up with the Vatican?
Well,
the Vatican.
Last week I hit on the Pope because...
What? How did he take that?
Yeah, you guys going out or what?
He said I was too old. No, I hit on him because of his comments that were anti-atheist, saying that, atheists could be fooled. Scientists were being fooled by atheists into believing evolution.
Oh,
but Christians can't be fooled, we all know.
It was primarily, he was, I think, just referring to abiogenesis, because the Catholic Church generally accepts evolution. Well, one of his science advisors, the Vatican's chief astronomer, said yesterday that intelligent design isn't science and doesn't belong in a science classroom. He said, quote, intelligent design isn't science even though it pretends to be. If you want to teach it in schools, intelligent design should be taught when religion or cultural history is taught, not science.
Okay.
And the Pope listened to his advisor and changed his mind?
There's been some backpedaling among some cardinals as to what should be said and shouldn't be said.
Wow. I guess as long as the science advisor still has his job, we can assume that they accept that opinion within their official organizational structure.
You realize that makes the Pope more liberal and open-minded than George Bush?
Yeah.
Political, sorry.
No, that's just true.
Yeah, well...
All right, let's move on. I got some science news. Possible glimmer of the first stars.
Ooh.
The first stars in the universe are long gone, but the light they emitted eons ago should still be reaching us. Astronomers now report having possibly detected that faint glimmer.
Cool.
If confirmed, the finding provides a glimpse of an era more than 13 billion years ago when the universe came alive after millions of years of darkness following the explosion that created the cosmos.
Hmm.
The light could also be from hot gas falling into the first black holes, however.
Wow.
The research team based at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, described the observation as seeing the glow of a distant city at night from an airplane. The light is too distant and feeble to enable the resolution of individual objects.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "We think we are seeing the collective light from millions of the first objects," said Alexander Kashlinsky, lead author of a paper describing the findings that appeared in the November 3rd issue of the research journal Nature. "The objects disappeared eons ago, yet their light is still traveling across the universe." The researchers used NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope to make the find. The telescope is an orbiting observatory that sees infrared light, a type of light slightly less energetic than visible light. Scientists theorize that space, time, and matter originated around 13.7 billion years ago in the Big Bang, when everything exploded out of a single point. Another 200 million years would pass before the first starlight, according to the theory. A 10-hour observation by Spitzer in the constellation Draco captured a diffuse glow of infrared light, lower in energy than visible light and invisible to us. They added that this glow is likely from Population 3 stars, a hypothesized class of stars thought to have formed before all others. Population 1 and 2 stars, named by order of their discovery, comprise the familiar types of stars we see at night.
I guess the population there would be primarily hydrogen. It's probably pure hydrogen.
Due to redshifting, the light from these objects should be detectable as infrared. Quote, "Again, this deep observation was filled with familiar-looking stars and planets," said John Mather, a co-author of the paper. "We removed everything we knew, all the stars and galaxies both far and near. We were left with a picture of part of the sky with no stars or galaxies, but it still had this infrared glow with giant blobs that we think could be the glow from the very first stars. This difficult measurement pushes the instrument to performance limits that were not anticipated in its original design," said team member S. Harvey Mosley.
Working at the edge of the instrumentation here.
The camera's high resolution enabled the team to remove the fog of foreground galaxies made of later stellar populations until the cumulative glow of the first light shone forth, researchers said. And since this is an atheist show, I feel it necessary to point out the glow from the first stars was blobs. It did not resolve into the shape of a big guy or anything that's obviously the handiwork of a big guy.
Yep. I heard another bit of science news.
You going to talk about the Mars thing now?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good, because I did some research on that. I was skeptical.
This one is about they finished a series of observations. I think they've been about a year long or maybe longer. From some orbital sensors,
yep,
of some sort, and it's another test of Einstein, and it's going to establish or disestablish the frame dragging hypothesis, wherein the rotation of the Earth actually drags
space along with it,
and
space
time around with it, and.
Right, because gravity is our space-time, but moving objects exerting gravity ought to have a drag. The gravity ought to have a drag effect.
A cushion of space with them.
And so, but apparently the data will take another year to process.
Wow.
So we won't know for another year the results.
That's great, because it's an example of how you know, even things that sound wild and far out to us, and even if our science predicts them and they can't be tested at the time, eventually they can, you know, eventually with enough effort and intelligence, you can come up with a way to test them.
You can concoct some instrumentation to
Yeah. Which is in stark contrast to anything that, you know, like intelligent design.
Well, the equivalent, the theistic equivalent, would be coming up with another excuse.
Yeah. Hey, we got a new one for you.
Yeah.
Press release.
Yeah. I see that you have a story about everyone's favorite televangelist there, Russell.
No,
do you want to do that one next?
Yes.
Who is it, Pat?
Yeah.
It's Pat.
It's Pat. People say. conservative Christian televangelist Pat Robertson told citizens of a Pennsylvania town that they had rejected God by voting their school board out of office for supporting intelligent design, and warned them on Thursday not to be surprised if disaster struck. Robertson, a former Republican presidential candidate and founder of the influential conservative Christian Broadcasting Network and Christian Coalition, has a long record of similar apocalyptic warnings and provocative statements. The article does not go on to say, that never come true. Last summer, he hit the headlines by calling for the assassination of leftist Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, for criticizing Bush. I'd like to say to the good citizens of Dover, if there's a disaster in your area, don't turn to God, because you just rejected him from your city, Robertson said on his daily television show broadcast from Virginia, the 700 Club. Oh, and don't wonder why he hasn't helped you when problems begin, if they begin. I'm not saying they will, but if they do, just remember, you just voted God out of your city.
Wow.
And if that's the case, don't ask for his help, because he might not be there, he said.
Hmm.
Way to make a bold and specific prediction,
yeah.
Pat.
Well, I pointed out on AA that, hell, if something bad does happen to Dover, I think the FBI should pay a little visit to Mr.
Yeah.
Robertson and ask, how much did you know, when did you know it, and how involved are you in this disaster?
Yeah. Well, It goes to support a theory we've advanced many times, that religion is a protection racket.
Yes, you know, exactly.
It's a protection racket that relies on nature to provide the examples of violence.
That's right.
That they then take credit for and use to browbeat their victims into coughing up money. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's a nice city you got there. It would be a shame if something were to happen to
it.
Yeah. Someday, eventually, God's going
to
send a tornado after you, and when it happens, you need to remember that I told you it was going to happen.
I'm also going to say the word terrorist.
Yeah, that's a terrorist.
Because, you know, it's like, suppose you started an organization on for some cause. Let's just say it's the liberation of Palestine. Right.
Okay, sure.
You start an organization, you know,
for the
liberation of Palestine.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
And any time anything bad happens anywhere and nobody else takes credit for it,
mm-hmm.
and probably sometimes even if they do,
yeah.
but they can't prove it, right?
Right.
Or you go ahead and take credit for it.
Yeah, okay.
That's your terrorist organization, right? You don't actually do any of those horrible things, but it doesn't matter because you take credit for them. And leave people with the impression that those things that happened that were bad happened because they went against your cause.
Right.
And if they don't stop going against your cause, more of those bad things will happen.
Right.
Yeah, every time something blows up in the Middle East these days, you hear like Al Qaeda saying, oh, we did it, yep. Even though, I mean, you know, they might have done it, but.
Yeah.
No, I see no terribly huge difference except that, you know, Pat Robertson didn't actually do it, nor did his invisible friend.
Yes. He didn't create Katrina.
Right. But another thing I think this highlights is that I cannot think of a more eloquent explanation of what intelligent design really is.
Or you mean proof that it is, in fact, creationism?
Yeah, I mean, Pat Robertson flat out said, by voting against intelligent design, you kicked God out of your city.
Yep, that's it.
Intelligent design is God.
We got a comment from the chat room.
Do we have that under oath? You know?
And Scarlett said, if you see a shiny gold caddy pulling away from Dover with a Jesus fish emblem, you know who caused the disaster.
Thank you, Scarlett. Yeah, boy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nope, there goes all my news.
But, you know, I've actually seen posts thanking Pat Robertson for saying this because it really puts the cherry on top of the whole trial.
Yes, it really does.
Yes. Anytime you piss Pat Robertson off, it's a good day.
Mm-hmm. All right, well. Then you can be assured he's going to say something really boneheaded.
Remember... In a previous show, either the last one or the one before, we covered the release of a study which shows a link between religiosity and societal dysfunction.
Sure.
Yeah.
How long do you think it was going to take before the Christians started coming out with their? But let me say Christians who are who feel that it is necessary to fight back start fighting back. Right.
Oh, yeah, not long.
Not long. Well, here it is.
2 hours.
Are churchgoers wealthier? Can religion fatten your pocketbook? Sunday morning TV evangelists sometimes assert that God will help financially those who pray to him.
And he'll also help out those who have big TV shows telling him to send us money.
Right.
Some of the rich believe their prosperity is a sign of God's grace. You know why, by the way, it's not mentioned in this article, you know why some of the rich believe their prosperity is a sign of God's grace?
Why?
Because fucking preachers tell them so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. They can't actually think up their own excuses. They have to have somebody tell them. Right.
I'm not actually criticizing the rich people.
Oh.
I'm criticizing the preachers.
Ah.
I'm criticizing the preachers for saying shit like that to rich people in order to get them on their side.
Right.
Now an economist has found a statistical correlation between attending church, or temple or mosque, and a better economic outcome.
Well, yes, of course.
You think so? Why?
Basically cronyism. I mean, yeah, good old boy network in the church. Sure, of course.
Like the Shepherd Yellow Pages, the Shepherd's Guide, where we have this publication in Austin, which is like Yellow Pages, but it only lists people who explicitly say we're a Christian business.
Right.
It encourages people to spend their money with each other.
Right.
But that doesn't. That would not necessarily lead to more prosperity.
Sure.
Why would it? I mean, you're going to buy the same amount of laundry detergent whether you go to a Christian store or a non-Christian store.
Yeah, but the Christians in the Christian store get richer. Store.
Yeah, but they're going to be selling laundry detergent whether they sell it to Christian followers or non-Christian
but
followers.
But they're going to be selling more...
There's just business going on. Where is the additional money being injected into the system?
The additional money
you know,
is...
The entire church-going population has a certain amount of money. If all they're doing is moving it around by doing business with each other, so what? How do you get more prosperity out of that?
But that's not what the study was saying.
Well, I know. I'm responding to Genesis.
Dennis's point was brought up as well. Dennis's point was brought up as well as one of the things you're making connections.
I'm going to read the whole story. Dennis had a prediction that he thought he knew why.
It's not a closed system. It means they're sucking in money from the outside, too.
That is a possibility.
Right.
All right, let me go on.
Okay.
On average, his paper notes, a household with double the rate of religious attendance as another household has 9.1% more income.
Okay.
That, by the way, I want to point out, it's not 10% more income, is it? Right?
Well,
so
administrative
in those
cost.
Churches where they want you to tithe...
Oh,
you're not actually making back your tithe. You're still
ooh,
falling behind.
Interesting.
Ah, gotcha.
By doubling your amount of church attendance, so you're going to have to go more than twice as much church attendance in order to raise that percentage up to where you're making a profit while still tithing.
Right. Okay.
Not that all churches ask for tithes,
of course.
That extra participation in religious activity decreases welfare participation by 16% from the usual rate, according to the study. It lowers the odds of being divorced by 4%, and increases the odds of being married by 4.4%.
There was another study a while back that said that Christians have the same rate of divorce or even slightly higher.
It's higher.
Yeah.
The thing is that...
So what the fuck is this?
No, the thing is, and I don't know if this has been missed or if you're going to get to it, and if you're going to get to it, then I'm sorry. This is comparing how much you go to church. It's comparing increased attendance. So it's only comparing churchgoers against other churchgoers. The more often you go, the people who attend most see an average of 9.1% increase.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's keep that in mind as we go through.
Let's compare these numbers to people who don't go to church at all and see where they stack up, because I think you'll get a slightly different story.
Yeah. God, these people have no fucking shame.
No honesty. None.
The paper does not investigate the mechanism by which religiosity creates these results, notes its author, Jonathan Gruber, an economist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Right.
What?
Huh? You wouldn't want
to. You wouldn't want to actually figure out something that might contradict, you know, the implication.
Yeah. He's not validating that God has anything to do with the extra prosperity, but, quote, I can't dispute it either, unquote.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christian scientists.
Yeah.
Economists have had a long interest in religion. I'm not going to read all that crap. Given their training, economists tend to think of religion as a type of market affected by both selfish interests and altruism. Economist Gruber, for example, speculates that the link between religious attendance and greater prosperity may stem from four factors. One is that going to religious service provides more social interactions and thus more useful connections. That's your good girl boy network. One statistical base for his paper hangs on religious market density, a tendency for people of the same faith to live in the same areas, Catholics with Catholics, Jews with Jews, etc. Another factor could be more religious, more attendance at religious schools of the children of highly religious families that could provide better schooling or contacts for adult life, if it weren't for the fact that studies have examined religious schools versus non-religious schools and found there's really no serious difference. Or, Gruber continues, it could be that those with more faith may be less stressed out about daily problems that impede success in the labor market and the marriage market and are therefore more successful.
I think that could be true. I mean, if you just generally ignore reality and partition your world off, you'll be less stressed.
But you know, I've worked in the computer games industry long enough to see a lot of different corporate bigwigs. It seems the most stressed out ones are the most successful ones.
Well, after the show, when we show you that Trading Spouses thing, I think we'll kill the religion cures stress argument.
That those Christians never encounter anyone who disagrees with their beliefs, because that is a huge source of stress.
And they also have to ignore the ramifications of their beliefs.
As my wife has observed many times...
Oh, you have a wife?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't anymore. As my ex-wife has observed...
That's right, because according to Texas, we're...
It's married.
It's really damn stressful to be the only person in the room who doesn't agree with the consensus opinion.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with the particulars of what that belief is about.
Right. Okay. A fourth factor may be that church attendance can offer forms of financial and emotional insurance. Many churches and other religious groups provide charity, clothes, food, money, to members in trouble, as well as the comfort of visits, consolation, advice, and so on that can revive a troubled family. A recent study, also published by the National Bureau of Economic Research in Cambridge, Massachusetts, finds just that religious involvement provides a kind of insurance from wealth shock, such as a demotion or a lost job.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
If the income of a religious... white household drops by 10%, its consumption of non-durable goods, such as food and clothing, falls at a rate that's 35% lower than a similar non-church-going household, because they get gifts of support
from
churchgoers. Okay, now, even given that this is true, even within the limited context of just churchgoers, right? Which is completely not said in this article from the Christian Science Monitor.
Right.
Which ends with...
I have to say, though, the Christian Science Monitor is a surprisingly good paper.
Not on this one.
Yeah,
not only do
I
they not
defend
point out
the Christian Science Monitor in general.
All right, man. But, I mean, Matt's point is well taken.
Yeah.
That they're just comparing churchgoers to churchgoers.
Right.
It means freaking nothing. To the world outside the church, it means freaking nothing.
Let me connect some dots here.
Hold on.
Okay.
I want to add, I didn't include this, but I sort of on the drive over and now talking about the article, I think this is relevant. They actually end this article with a little Bible reference about God saying that you follow him and you get wealthier. Right? So it's hardly a unbiased article. But I want to say, even given that this is true, even just within the church-going population,
yeah,
this creep that did the study lists four different factors that could account, four different physical, real factors that could account for the effect, but will not take a stand on the question of, is it magic?
Right. Does God have a hand in it?
You know why? Because to me, this study proves that it cannot be. Because it doesn't matter whether you go to church, temple, mosque, the same effect was present across all of those religions.
But he won't take a freaking stand.
Which means that
people have no shame.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm getting just as much effect from my church as you are from yours, then either both gods are real or not.
Let's extend that. This old boy network, the reduction in stress from hanging out with other people that believe the way you do, the support from friends, the fourth factor, all those things, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can get those things just as much from participating in your local atheist organization.
Come join today.
We have a guy. There's a guy in the ACA.
Yeah.
Came in homeless, has been helped by the organization. Just for an example. And I'm not tooting our horns. I think that's the way people human beings should be for one another, right? But just as an example, that kind of thing can come of atheist gatherings also. So I want to take this moment to encourage everybody listening to the show, if you have a local atheist organization and you haven't been for a while, like me, because we moved a little bit farther out of town and now it's just harder to get to the meetings.
Start going twice as much.
Participate more. If you participate twice as much, could be your income, your real income will increase by 9.1%.
Yeah.
Because these same factors would apply there.
Let me tell you
my income
story
has increased by that much just in the last 6 months.
And how much can you credit the ACA, your ACA participation with it?
I participate at probably 90 to 95%.
Yeah,
but
we're setting aside magical reasons now, right? It's not luck just because you...
There's no magic in the ACA?
No.
Oh, man.
Did you get job leads? Did you get financial support? Did you get emotional support that helped you continue with your, you know...
No, actually, I'm pretty sure the ACA had nothing to do with it. I worked my ass off and got a raise.
All right.
Let me tell you a little story.
You're just one example.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Maybe I'm a control person.
That's anecdotal.
Dennis, you just joined the ACA like 2 weeks ago.
Yes, but it's not the ACA I'm talking about.
Okay.
My career was started by attending a Society for the Creative Anachronism. Society for Creative Anachronism event.
Yeah.
And meeting Steve Jackson, who was the Baron at that time, way back in the late 80s or something like that.
So really, it's participation in
any
kind
group,
of organization.
Any
all
group
these
can
things
give you connections.
Apply. You make friends, you get a support structure. It is a thing worth doing. It's healthy and good.
Yeah.
It's not, as many atheists, I think, are all too willing to
assume.
It's
not because God would be richer.
No, no, no. I don't think the atheists think that. There are a lot of atheists who have a knee-jerk reaction against participation in anything. Right.
Right?
They are rugged individualists.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, rugged individualists are entirely capable, I think, without giving up any of their individuality or ruggedness. They are entirely capable of just seeing a good thing and taking advantage of it.
Right.
Right? And, sure. And what this study shows, nothing about church. It's about being part of some group
right.
that is going to be good for you.
That's right, because if I can connect some dots here,
yeah.
One of the things that you read was,
yeah.
One statistical basis hangs on religious market density, a tendency for people of the same faith to live in the same areas, Catholics with Catholics, Jews with Jews, etc.
Right.
Now, if you are actually being influenced by your social connections, and people are more inclined to shop with people whose religion they agree with, then, and given that non-believers and members and people who just don't go to church aren't
yeah.
counted, if you go to church twice as much, you have a lot more, you know, statistically you're going to tend to have a lot more visibility, and people are going to be more aware of you when it comes to making their shopping decisions.
Yeah. Now, there's one more little thing.
Yeah.
How many politicians in positions of power over wealth and how it's spent and blah, blah, blah are Christians and how many are atheists?
Based on what they say, they're mostly Christians. Why?
Mm-hmm. Well, look who's in power and look who has a little...
Has the support network.
Support,
you're saying
yeah.
politicians can influence the way that
money
people
is spent.
Get rich.
Yeah.
I think, or are you suggesting that if we simply had more support structures for atheists and more atheists participating in them, we'd get more atheist politicians? Your mic
no.
is not turned anywhere.
Oh, yes, I know, but, well, not in the current atmosphere, no.
Well, but, okay. All right. The last paragraph. Just believing is not enough, explains one of the three authors of the study. The individuals must attend religious activities. The poorest individuals benefit most. Once again,
it's all physical participation,
then it and not the belief. It has nothing to do with magical forces.
Right.
It's not the power of faith that gets you wealthier.
Mm-hmm.
It is the sheer practical advantage of hanging out with other people that you can deal with.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, I will reiterate this. If you are not in an atheist group now, try to find one. If you are concerned that it's too much like following, attend one and, you know, argue with the other people a lot. you don't have to be there and, you know, to be a mindless zombie disagreeing with everything that everyone
right.
says. In fact,
and
you'll find atheists are people who rather enjoy engaging in worthwhile arguments.
Right.
So that's okay.
Hey, and if there isn't a group, make one.
And
then you can be the leader, and you don't have to listen to anyone.
You'll get even richer.
Yes, Matt.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to say. If there's no group in your area, put an ad in the newspaper. That's exactly how the ACA gets started.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
How much time have we got, Matt?
About 12 minutes.
Okay.
Well,
can I throw a question out there?
Sure.
This is... I thought I'd just throw this out real quick. This is regarding my wife's message board, which we've talked about in the past, because I'm an interested lurker who sometimes gets indirectly involved in the discussion by looking at and discussing my wife's points with her.
Yeah.
And I should mention that I also butted in recently because the Euthyphro Project, www.euthyphroproject.com.
Which, if you haven't seen it before, that is that's a website that Russell and I put together where we are attempting to popularize the insights of the Euthyphro Dilemma, which was Plato writing about Socrates, right?
Yeah, and the short version is... even if you believe in God, you can't really believe that things are moral just because God says so.
Because believing they're moral just because he says so leads to implications that are not acceptable.
Right.
And
even
to Christians. And believing that the option is believing that he didn't make them up, which is also not acceptable to Christians.
Right.
Okay, go on.
I got involved with my own handle, basically, as, defending the Euthyphro Project, which was put out there by my wife, my ex-wife, according to Texas law.
All right.
Keep scaring me with that.
And she's here listening today, so I hope she can take a joke.
You know what I think is strange?
Yes.
I'm sorry, this is a digression, and I'll just digress for 15 seconds here.
Yeah.
The way that law is written, that the state cannot recognize these...
It
describes this thing that's
to.
Like marriage, right, and says it can't accept that. All you gotta do is come up with something that's slightly different. It's not like marriage anymore.
I think it says similar to.
Okay, fine. You make it different enough that it's not really similar, and then you ask the state to recognize that.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
Go ahead.
So, anyway, this led to a very long argument that...
Which I read all of, at least
you did.
Up until the point where I got your email, all the argument that had happened so
far. Yeah, well, it continued to go on, but mainly with Ginny, and a whole bunch of people who are now angry at her for bringing an outsider into the board.
Because that's the important thing, not the fact that everything you said made perfect sense.
Yeah. So... but she asked why are you guys so mad about the fact that I'm arguing my positions, because that's what Christians do.
Right.
And they said, well, look, you got mad when we criticized your husband and you jumped in to defend him. Now, we feel that we have that kind of personal connection with God, and it hurts us on a personal level when you badmouth our man.
Did you remind
and how many
that,
different
hey,
Christian wives were saying this of the same man?
Hey, did you mention that,
supposedly
you agree with your God that I deserve to be tortured forever?
I don't know. I mean, do you think, first of all, that it's rude to go around bashing people's family relations, family members on message boards, and does the analogy really apply? I'm serious.
The analogy doesn't apply.
Okay.
I'm sorry. How many legs does a horse have if you call a tail a leg? Right?
Yeah.
Four.
Because
how many
calling a tail a leg doesn't mean it is.
If you are a single person, right,
mm-hmm.
and you're all of your... And your parents and cousins and aunts and uncles and everybody related to you is gone. How many family members do you have if you believe in God? It's still zero. It's still freaking zero. I don't care if they want to call him Father. I don't care if they want to think of him that way. Doesn't matter. That's not what that is.
I would say...
I demand a paternity test.
I would say, though, that even if... setting aside the question of whether God exists, which is a big question, but I wouldn't venture to deny that that their feelings about God are just as real to them as somebody's feelings about a real person.
Okay.
Because emotions can be...
Fair enough.
...tricky things.
Fair enough. So what?
In a way, I'm just wondering if they're justified getting offended.
If it's rude to state your opinion when your opinion hurts somebody else's feelings, merely because it hurts their feelings, right? If it's unacceptable to state any opinion that hurts somebody's feelings, discourse is dead.
Yeah,
right.
That just can't be the standard. That's ridiculous.
See, the thing, though, is, and I mentioned part of this last night when we talked about it, but also, if Jenny's feelings, for instance, get hurt if her husband is attacked, and they were trying to make that analogy, the thing is, do you think it really, if there was a God, do you think it hurts his feelings that somebody thinks he isn't real?
Yeah, that's
it may or may not.
But I think these Christians were arguing that they themselves have feelings that were hurt.
Oh, I understand.
I'm not saying that it's because God.
No, I understand. I mean, from a fundamentalist Christian, you are, you know, a bride of Christ, and God is your father, and all this other
Which
stuff.
Really
but my thing is, if you have, what kind of God do you have if he needs to be defended by people who got their feelings hurt just because you said he wasn't real? Or that in the Old Testament he was a complete prick.
That's a good point. But
which he was. Nobody. I can't really see anybody denying that.
And turn around, Matt. You know, remember back when you were a believer, how much impact would that kind of statement have on you?
None.
Yeah, so.
Because
why even worry about it?
And it was part of the thing that I brought the other night. Rather than sitting there getting your feelings hurt,
yeah.
If you're a Christian because an atheist said something, your duty, if you're a Christian, is to be ever ready to defend the faith. And that doesn't mean come to the defense of God after he's been maligned.
Yeah,
it means justify why you believe what you believe. And you're also supposed to love your enemies, bless those that curse you, and pray for the people who these people are claiming are hurting their feelings. They're not behaving in a way that is consistent with what they claim to believe. They're getting their feelings hurt. They're being defensive.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that the questions and propositions which have been presented on that forum are too difficult for them to answer. It's too stressful for them to question their faith on that level. And so they're just knee-jerk reacting.
Yeah, they're looking for any excuse they can possibly come up with. I completely agree.
So you don't think they really are saying it because they have personal feelings about God?
Oh, I think that's part of it, but I think it's what it is they're allowing. The thing is, you're not arguing from a standpoint of feelings. You're arguing from a standpoint of logic. You're bringing up points, valid points that are difficult for them to answer. And whether or not their feeling is such, or their feelings are involved in the way that, oh, we got our feelings hurt, or if they're just arguing from emotion, both are invalid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, does that answer your question?
Sure, yeah.
How much time do we have left now, Matt?
Minute and a half.
Minute and a half.
Wow.
All right, I was gonna throw my remaining stories open to a vote to try to fit one of them in, but
yeah.
We don't even have time even for one of them. I'm just gonna read the headline.
All
right, okay, and
read
it. Yeah, half a paragraph on each. Strange behavior at the FDA. You know about the morning after pill?
Yeah.
The FDA went ahead and refused to allow the sale of the morning after pill.
Assholes.
Without even waiting for the latest round of testing to be complete. Then I had this amusing article about a giant Jesus statue in Ohio, in Monroe, Ohio, that a church put up.
Yeah.
And they are taking credit for the reduction in traffic accidents and on that section of the road since then.
Oh, forever.
Never mind the fact that at the same time they erected the Jesus statue, the Department of Transportation
also
added
a
$1.1 million high-tension cable system in the freeway's medium. Cars have hit that cable 183 times since the erection of the Jesus statue, and in three of those cases, crashes have occurred within 0.3 mile of the church itself. It's just that those cables are preventing fatalities from the accident.
Hmm.
There's also, and this is funny, there's also a running disagreement over the statue's name. Postcards for sale in the church's gift shop refer to it as the King of Kings. Many locals call it Touchdown Jesus, since he's like throwing his arms up in the air.
Yeah.
We gotta go! Crap. And they don't like cervical cancer vaccine either.
Right.
Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody in the chat room. We will be back in 2 weeks. Happy holidays, the beginning holidays for everyone and stuff. Bye.
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 Trapped in a world before later on. Where's my hovercraft? Where's my jetpack? Where's the font of acquired wisdom that eludes me now? We're trapped in a world before later. Trapped in a world. before later on. Where's our Tilray? Where's our space face? Where are all the complications we won't see around?
Where we met is where you made.